everyone. My name is Pastor Maya Rodriguez. I want to welcome you to my weekly podcast. It is a true privilege to be able to share the good news of God's Word with you. Enjoy. How's the best church in Las Vegas doing? Come on, let's give God the glory. Welcome to all of you that are watching online. We love you. You are part of our church family. And so I want to give you guys a report on kids camp. So we have only a few spaces. If your kid is not signed up for our kids summer camp, these are the kids like elementary, 4 years old to 12 years old. There's basically the class that has the most spaces available is 5 spaces. And that's for our 4-year-olds and our 11 to 12. Other than that, all the other classes have 3 or 2 spaces left. That means if you haven't signed up your child, it's scary. Like there's no other way I can make room. So it's kind of like sign them up now, sign them up today. If money is an issue, it shouldn't be. Get them signed up, and I know God will provide not only for you, but through scholarships and all of that kind of good stuff. So go ahead and ask, because your child needs to be signed up for kids camp. Amen? Amen? Okay, so we're going to dive into the Word of God today. And we're continuing with this mini-series entitled, Those People. So everybody, their finger, you know, we're going to point our finger and we're like, those people. Not very Christian of us, right, you guys? Not very Christian of us. When I say those people, how many know exactly who I'm referring to? Right? Those people. So to generalize, and again, I'm piggybacking off of where I left off last week, but I want to kind of dive in to more about those people, who those people look like. And if you're taking notes, you want to write this down. Now, I do want to say, do not look at your neighbor. Do not elbow your neighbor. Do not point at anyone. Do not take their picture. Do not make fun of anybody, right, you guys? Because we have to live life, and it's hard to live life with those people. Right? We have to put up with those people. We have to do life with those people because those people are everywhere. And these are general, the 6 most common those people. Number 1, the demanding. Write it down, the demanding. These people are like little dictators. They are bossy. I told you not to look at anybody. Some of y'all already know. Do not look at that person. Okay, they are bossy, they are controlling, they are intimidating, right? They want to control every conversation, have the last point. Like when COVID was going on, like they were scientists, right? They knew everything and they could tell you why, right? They make demands on your life, on your time, and on your attention, and they're highly, highly consuming. Say those people. Okay, number 2, the disapproving people. I don't see a lot of you guys writing notes. I'd be writing this down. The demanding. Number 2, the disapproving people. These are the nitpickers, not the nose pickers, the nitpickers. They're highly critical. They are negative, right? They are so negative. They are judgmental. They are the glass half full people. They will always tell you what's going to go wrong because they're for certain something's going to go wrong, right? And so they're like, oh my gosh, this is such a bad idea. They're going to give you all of the reasons why you shouldn't do it. These are the disapproving people. Say with me, those people. Number 3, confrontational. They love to argue. Please do not identify them with the controlling. The controlling like to control you, have dominance. But the confrontational actually like to argue. They like to fight. They will butt into other people's fights, right? They're like taking off their earrings, like ready to fight, throw down. It's not even their fight. But they would go ghetto on you in 0.5 a second, right? They will totally, because they love to raise their voices. And they will talk you into surrender. They will argue with you to the point where you're like, okay, there's nothing else I can say, so I surrender. These are with me, say it with me, those people. So those people, right, you guys? Not you people. No, little angels, not you people, those people, right? Okay. Number 4, the destructive people. Ooh, these are the bulldozers. These are volcanoes that erupt and destroy anything in their way. Think of like the arguing, but then they come with the lava, right? And they just consume everything on their way. They want it, everything to be their way. They're hot-tempered. They will blow up. You never know what's going to set them off. So it's like they're good until they're not. They're good. They're happy. You can enjoy them. But then one thing happens and poof, in your face, there is lava everywhere. Lava, just lava everywhere. Imagine the other word. Okay. Right? They are destructive. They will blow up. You have to walk basically on eggshells around. Say it with me. Those people. Number five, discontented. These people, discontented. They are super touchy, thin-skinned. I like to call these the crybabies. Literally, wah, wah, wah. Right, you guys? It's like cry babies. They throw themselves their own pity parties. They dress up for it. They live for it. They are always the victim. Say it with me. Those people. And then number six, again, I'm totally generalizing. Number six are the smart mouths. Oh, gosh, these smart mouths. These people, those people, are rude, crude, and insulting. They have nicknames for everyone. Please do not think I'm preaching about you. I got this out of a lot of study. They love to make fun of others, point others, you know, their deficiencies out. They are basically the bubble busters. Right? They like to tear people down. Like, literally, like, I mean, they have nicknames like El Gordo, like, because you're fat. Like, literally, they call you El Gordo. You know, you're bald, and they'll call you that. You have big ears, and they'll call you that, like, Orejón. Like, you're like, what the heck? Like, I didn't already know I have big ears. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't already know I'm fat, and yet you're calling me that. Like, they'll always have a nickname, but the hard part about it is it's usually a really negative nickname, and it's used to tear people down. They get joy in being disrespectful. They make it as if it's funny. But by the way, most of these people, this is something like I really wanted to study about, most of these people are actually highly insecure because they're speaking through their insecurity. Because they don't feel 100% content with their life, or they feel insecure, so they're going to point out your insecurity so that the spotlight is on you. The more insecure they are, the more they point out the deficiencies of others. And it's really, really sad. Say with me, those people are crazy. Come on, say it with me. Those people are crazy. They're the crazy makers. But I hope you noticed that as I went through those people, you kind of found yourself in some of those lists. Right? You're like, oh, that's me. Like, literally. When I was writing this list, I almost left out a few of them. Because I'm like, that's me. At some degree, at some point, you know, maybe you would say, oh, I'm like 3-4 on this. But you're that. Most of us, you know, go a little crazy. We are just, I mean, let's admit it. We're a little bit crazy, right? So it's not so much just dealing with those people, it's being, not being those people. It's dealing with ourselves and learning how to control that and how to manage and how to let the Holy Spirit work inside of us. So today I really hope that you don't feel pointed out in any way. Like as I was putting this together, I just felt the Holy Spirit working in my heart as well. So we are all a work in process and we're all just a little bit crazy. Can I get a loud amen to that? Come on, church. Come on, church. We are those people. So let's go to the Word of God in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. There's actually this chapter, chapter 4, and it's titled Christian Living. So I'm like, what better way than to know how Christ wants us to live? What our life should look like? And look what it says in verse 17. It says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, as those that don't have God. basically, as you did when you didn't have God, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Verse 20, that, however, there's a shift here, saying that's how you were before God. There should be that however after God. There has to be a however in our life with the Holy Spirit. And it says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful. What is helpful for what? For building others up according to what? To their needs. Another word is their deficiencies. Another word is their lack. Where you see that they are deficient, they're lacking, they're struggling, guess what? We're supposed to be there to build other people up, to help, not to kick them while they're down, right? But we should be, there should be something different in us. But then it says, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit could be grieving because of our attitudes. And it says the following. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind. Turn to your neighbor and say, play nice. Because you know, most of the time when we look at each other, we're thinking something bad. We're like, did you see that? I know with my best friends, it just takes a look. And we're like, oh, shoot. And I was asking the Holy Spirit, I said, I want to be able to see more good than the bad. You know what I'm saying? I really do. This was a work of the Holy Spirit in me. Usually, it's like I turn to my friend and be like, oh, my gosh, she did it again. You know, like you like look at somebody and you're like, you already know what they're thinking. But it's usually bad because we usually see the bad. And I say, Holy Spirit, work in me. How many can admit to that and say, yes, Holy Spirit, I need you to work in me. So it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Be kind, be compassionate, be forgiving. As followers of Jesus, we're called to love people, all people, including those people, to offer by grace what we have by grace so generously received, especially with those people. But my question again is how? Help me. Because it's hard. Because when you have not a 3 or 4 of those people, but when you have, in a sense of degrees, when you have a 10, you know, when you have those people that's a 9 in the spectrum, a 10, and they're part of your lives, how do I deal with them? And I want to point out with this, never cut what you can untie. Come on, you guys. This should be a tattoo on your body. Literally, never cut a relationship that you can just untie. Don't be so quick to cut people out of your life. Before you cut someone out of your life, make sure you, number one, come on, you guys, honestly assess the situation. Before you get too worked up, you need to take a step back and ask yourself, is the other person actually toxic or are they just plain annoying? Sometimes we want to cut just annoying people out of our lives when God has told us to love our neighbor, to help, to look at their deficiencies. And we're saying that they're toxic. We're cutting people out. We're saying, you don't even invite them to church because you thought they're too far gone. Like, we are so quick to judge others and cut people out of our lives. Is the problem serious enough to warrant action? Or can you simply overlook it for family unity? Can you just suck it up? There's things that you can't, and we're going to get to that. There's things that you can't, but there's stuff that you can. Turn to your neighbor and say, play nice. Play nice. I think they're talking to us. What type of effect is this? their behavior having on you and your family? Before you cut someone out of your life, say, is it affecting my children? Is it affecting the health of our family? Or is it something that I can just untie? Should I actually cut it? Have you actually told the other person? Before you cut the person out of your life, have you had a conversation and said, like, I'm feeling like you're turning toxic, or I'm feeling like you're like this, or have you even give them an opportunity to ask for forgiveness, to change, or are you just talking about them behind their back? You guys, come on, church, say, oh, the Holy Spirit has been written in my mail, right? So before you cut someone, number one, honestly assess the situation. Number two, this one's a big one, you guys. This one's a big one, and I trembled writing it. Accept responsibility. Have you said or done anything hurtful to the other person yourself? Even unintentionally. Have you ever failed to treat them as kindly and respectful as you're asking and demanding them to treat you? Have you done for them what you're pointing out that they're no longer doing for you? Or are you throwing yourself a big pity party and like, oh, that friendship, oh, that? Or are you saying, wait a minute, what's my responsibility in this? Have you ever been selfish, self-centered, or mean-spirited yourself? These are questions to be asking before we put a tag on those people. Amen? Psalms 139, 23 to 24 says the following, and it's one of my favorite verses, but it's one of those verses that really, there should be a caution. There should be a caution sign on this before you're brave enough to pray it. I caution you, because he will reveal if you ask him. Search me. Just let that sink in, you guys. Search me, God. Search me, God, and know my heart. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me. How many can say amen to that? How many can say amen to that? Can we give God the glory for his word? Because his word is so powerful and so good. So before you cut someone out of your life, make sure you're honestly assessing the situation. Make sure you're accepting responsibility for the relationship. And make sure, number three, that you set healthy boundaries. That you put these boundaries, that everyone knows what they are. Do you need to limit visits? Do you need to restrict your visits to a certain format maybe? You know, maybe you got to just change it up to make it work. Maybe you can text them or have phone calls, but some of y'all just unfollow people so quick. Unfollow, and that today, in today's, for whoever doesn't do social media, you know, this is like, woo, but if you do, when someone doesn't unfollow you, or even worse, when they block you, this is family members to family members. And this is just horrible. This is horrible. Because are they that bad? Yes, there's some that are, you know. But before you get to that point, did you go through all these steps to actually block them? What happens spiritually? What's going on in the spiritual realm of your family when you're doing stuff like that? Of your friend group? And I'm talking to you teenagers as well, 12 and 13-year-olds. Understand that there's repercussions to your attitudes and the way that you're being to other people. Now, I'm not saying for you not to set boundaries. Set boundaries. Let them know your boundaries. So maybe you just follow them. Maybe you just got to put them on silent or mute. Is that what it's called? Mute? Sorry, I'm really bad. Sometimes you just got to mute so you're not listening to all the anti-vax stuff that's coming in, you know, all the conspiracy theories, but they're a family member. Just mute them. You know, keep the family peace. So before you cut some, are you guys learning something today? Are we learning something? Okay. So before you cut, yes, let's give God glory. Let's give him praise. So before we cut someone out of our lives, make sure we honestly assess the situation. make sure we're accepting our responsibility. We set healthy boundaries, and this one's a hard one because then we have to stick to those boundaries. We got to really stick to the boundaries that we have set. One of the ways that I found to stick to the boundaries, and I am far from perfect. This actually, like, this whole series, it just reminded me of a conversation I had with a really good friend, and this was like my therapy session with her. She's a woman of God, you know, Christ follower, and she was so good when I came to her one time, just crying, bawling, frustrated with a relationship, and she led me to the Word of God, as a good friend should, right? As a good friend should. They should listen to you, say, yes, you're right. Yes, your tears are valid, but let me take you to the Word of God, and we're going to build you up. We're going to build you up. Refuse to be offended. That's a boundary you got to set. Refuse to be offended. Guys, church, yes, the piano's going to play, but I'm going to give it to you. Don't I still have like 10 minutes? 11 minutes? Danny, it's your anniversary today. 2 years married to my daughter. Did they send them up early or what? Okay, let me see. I'm like, I just feel like I've been, yeah, I have 11 minutes. Okay. Refuse, you guys, refuse to be offended. This was something a friend told me, and this is something I had to go look in the Word of God because I was just like, what the heck? Like, literally, don't take it personally. No matter what they say, do, act, or react, they're revealing what is in them. Okay? Who they are, not what is in you or who you are. So, spiritually and emotional maturity is determined by how I treat those who mistreat me. You want to know if you're actually getting mature? How? I don't want to see how you treat those that treat you well. How do you react to that negative Nelly? How do you react to that person right at the DMV? Bless the DMV workers. In Jesus' name, we pray for them every day. TSA, oh Lord, I'm speaking in tongues this morning, right, you guys? TSA, we bless those TSA workers. If you work in the TSA, I will gladly give you a hug. You need one. If we play into their childish games, we are a child ourselves. If you're like, oh my God, they're so childish, right? I cannot believe they said that and da 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 da. You're literally stooping to their level. Like, you are being childish just like them. The fact that you're responding to them, you know, right? They're like, and you're like, And they're like, and then you're like, Literally, some of us, and you guys laugh. I laugh, but I'm telling you, I was writing this. I was shaking. I was like, how many times have I been like, to my husband, and I'm frustrated, or I'm frustrated with a certain situation or a certain person, but yet I'm reacting to it. So I'm revealing what's in me, not just, you know, I'm letting them set me off, but I'm only bringing out what's inside. You can't produce what you aren't. So if it's coming out, it's actually revealing what's in you. That's why I said, search me, oh God. Come on, search my heart. Let me know if there's anything inside of me that I'm complaining about the other person, but maybe it's me. And you know, I can't change them. And they're going to be negative, and they're going to be bitter, and they're going to be throwing a pity party. But I can change them. But what I can do is I can ask God to work with me. Wise people simply dismiss the words of fools, the Bible says. Most times what you have to do is just smile, nod, and just dismiss it. Dismiss it. You're like, what? If you're doing tit for tat, like literally, you're playing a child's game. Unless you are willing to invest your time, peace, and emotions, you are not going to change them. So don't waste your precious time defending yourself or trying to reason with them. They are crazy. Okay, crazy isn't a mind, it's an emotion. They're driven by emotions. I know they could be crazy in their mind, like cuckoo, but what I'm saying is when someone's crazy, it's that they don't, they, emotionally, they don't have any restraints. They just let everything go. Whatever's in them, they're just going to let it go, right? They're an extremes. They're extreme. But if you're trying to reason with them, I wrote it this way. Do you know who's crazier than a crazy person? The one that lives affected by the crazy person. You know who's crazier than them? Us. That are affected by them. Like, they're at home right now, chilling, having an espresso, you know, having a bagel. And here we are at church thinking about them. I'm talking and you're thinking about them. Come on, how many can admit it? How many can? So who's crazier than the crazy person? The one that lives affected by their crazy. Dismiss it and let it go. See, Romans 12, 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is not my word. This is the word of God. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. And guess what? God will repay them. God sees it all. God sees what they're doing. It says the Lord, on the contrary, if your enemy, this is just hard. I don't even know if I have time to read this because it just goes to another level here. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, because this is a word. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. By you not reacting to them, by you not being overcome evil with evil, but rather evil with good. You are acting Christ-like, and you are giving God all of the authority for him to deal with it. As long as we keep control, we're wanting to deal with it. We're wanting to change them. See, the devil is out to divide, distract, and discredit us as Christians. We learned that last week. So every minute you are angry, every time you sit in church, and when I bring up those people, you think of them, you're literally allowing the devil to win. We are, I'm going to include myself, hands, feet, full body, we are allowing the devil to win. And I want to put it to you this way. I ask God, as I prepare this message, give me thick skin, but a soft heart. And I hope that you can take that. I ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, give me thick skin. Help me to resist whatever it is that comes at me. But you know what? Give me a soft heart to be able to love, to be able to take the higher road, to be able to be compassionate, to be able to think, you know what? Maybe they never received love. They don't know. I feel bad. Actually, while I was writing this, I started crying because I said, I feel bad for the lack of relationship, for the broken relationship. It actually hurts me that somebody wouldn't value a relationship. It should, instead of anger us, it should hurt us. And we should ask the Holy Spirit, give us thick skin, but a soft heart. Refuse to be offended. Consider that source. They don't know. And I remember a conversation I had with my mom and my grandmother in summer of her last years. She was suffering with Alzheimer's, and she had very advanced Alzheimer's, and she would leave the stove on, and she would do so many things, you know, forget so many things and take off and just argue a point, even though we knew it wasn't it. She would argue a point. And I remember one time my mom and I were having a conversation, and I could see my mom was, like, so struggling. And I was like, Mom, like, you're trying to argue, you're trying to convince someone that's sick. And while I was writing this, I felt the Holy Spirit remind it for myself. As I hold on to hurt with those people, or I judge, or I'm like, you know, offended by them, I'm trying to argue, I'm trying to convince someone that's sick, that is crazy, they can't understand what I understand, they don't know, they haven't had the blessing of having the Holy Spirit inside of them, working inside of them, saying, hey, you're wrong, just forgive, like, they don't live that way. So how could I argue with a sick person? How can I go tit for tat with someone that has Alzheimer's or someone that has dementia? It's the same way. If you rather see them and say, wow, they don't know you the way I do, Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them that you would reveal that they would accept you the way I have. That it would hurt them the way it hurts me. But if it doesn't, that's your job, God. That's your job. Stand to your feet. I want to remind you, church, that the abused do become abusers. The abused usually, I don't say they always do, but the abused usually become abusers. The ones that weren't shown love without the Holy Spirit, without God, usually don't know how to give love. The ones that, you know, you might say, my dad never hugged me. Have you ever thought if his dad hugged him? If he was shown what you're asking and you're demanding from him? What's the cause? What's the root? Holy Spirit, give me eyes not to just see the bad. Give me eyes actually to see the good and to excuse some of it. Grace is giving people what they don't deserve, but mercy is not giving people what they deserve. And God has called us to be a church full of grace, but also a church that knows how to give mercy. Because being offended is inevitable, but living offended is your choice. And the Word of God says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other as Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Heavenly Father, close your eyes and open up your heart. Heavenly Father, oh Holy Spirit, work inside each heart. We are open. We are available. We are asking you to search my heart. As I sat under your word, as I sat under your presence, my mind wanted to go to point out those people, but I realize now the one that can be transformed in this moment is me. Work inside of me. Transform my heart. Help me right now in Jesus' name to forgive. To forgive. To forgive those people. To untie the relationships if I have to be untied. And to cut only those relationships that actually need to be cut. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with your family, friends, frenemies. Lord knows we all need more Jesus. Until next week.